Joshua Harris, author of the hit book series on courtship, I Kiss Dating Goodbye and Boy Meets Girl, leaves his pastoral position, then pulls his book from the shelves while quoting Che Guevara, and is now separating from his wife. Does this mean the concepts throughout the book were wrong all along? Stay with us as we look at this and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we are going to be discussing not only courtship, but also the sad state of one Joshua Harris, somebody that for me personally has had a huge effect on my walk with Christ. Has had a huge effect on my wife's walk with Christ. In fact, when I read parts of the story of what's going on with his life, my wife literally started crying thinking about this, because this man's books that he wrote, I Kiss Dating Goodbye and also Boy Meets Girl, had an effect on both of us. In fact, I read both I Kiss Dating Goodbye and Boy Meets Girl, which Joshua Harris wrote, and I read I Kiss Dating Goodbye when I was a newer believer. And it really did help to edify me. It helped for me to understand what it means to be in a relationship as a believer, what my outlook should be like when it comes to viewing relationships, and that I shouldn't be just, you know, going dating all these random girls and things like that. And I thought that was really beneficial for my walk. And then also Boy Meets Girl, I remember I worked on a cruise ship while I was getting to know my wife while she was back home. I had got to know her before. She was my wife, obviously, but I'd got to know her before, as in going to the fellowship with her and sharing the gospel out on the streets with her and being involved in Bible studies. But then I remember specifically that I read Boy Meets Girl on the flight home from Hawaii when I was working on a cruise ship and coming home. And then I would ask her father if I could court her, and then ask that same father a year later if I could marry her, and then 10 months later from that, marry her. So it actually had a wonderful effect on my life, and it was a book, two books, that I greatly benefited as a young believer in Christ. So when I heard that these books were being pulled from shelves and what was going on, I obviously said, hey, I want to see what's happening. This is, you know, really discouraging for someone who looked at these books and thought, wow, they had a lot of great principles, a lot of good wisdom. So I wanted to see what was going on. What was Joshua Harris, what was the author of these books saying about them? And why was it that he was wanting these things pulled from the shelf? You see, because Joshua Harris seems to have had a slow fade when it comes to his view on the books. Obviously, when he first wrote them, he had a high view. He was doing conferences, and a lot of different videos were going out, and youth groups were getting involved in kind of sharing this idea that we should be courting one another and not dating. Now, I'm going to just step on that for a second, or step to the side so you guys can, not step on it, but step to the side so you guys can hear a little bit that we understand that whether you call it dating or courtship, when you apply biblical principles to how you are going to relate to people of the opposite sex when it comes to seeing if they're going to be the person you're going to marry, I don't care what you call it. I care how you act. Okay, you can call something whatever you want, but if you don't act a certain way biblically, it doesn't really matter. You're just playing semantic games. So I don't care if you call it dating or courtship. If you treat someone as they're supposed to be biblically, it's a beautiful thing and God can use it. But when it comes to Joshua Harris and his book on why he would take it off the shelves, this kind of comes with, like I said, a slow fade where the book went out, he was getting really popular. I believe his brothers came out with a book called Do Hard Things, if I remember correctly. And there was a lot of hype going on behind him to the point where he became a pastor of a church. And then in 2015, he stepped down from his pastorate and went back to college. And then in 2018, he pulls the books from the shelves. And here's what he had to say about it on his official statement. He said, quote, "While I stand by my book's call to sincerely love others, my thinking has changed significantly in the past 20 years. I no longer agree with this central idea that dating should be avoided. I now think that dating can be a healthy part of a person, developing relationally and learning the qualities that matter most in a partner. There are other weaknesses too. In an effort to set a high standard, the book emphasized practices, not dating, not kissing before marriage, and concepts, giving your heart away, that are not in the Bible. In trying to warn people of the potential pitfalls of dating, it instilled fear for some, fear of making mistakes or having their heart broken. The book also gave some the impression that a certain methodology of relationships would deliver a happy ever after ending, a great marriage, a great sex life, even though this is not promised by Scripture." He continued, "To those who read my book and were misdirected or unhelpfully influenced by it, I am sincerely sorry. I never intended to hurt you. I know this apology doesn't change anything for you, and it's coming too late, but I want you to hear that I regret any way that my ideas restricted you, hurt you, or gave you a less than biblical view of yourself, your sexuality, your relationships, and God." Now, I want to comment on a couple of things there concerning what he has to say. The idea that this sincere love that he wants people to have seems to be him also sincerely wanting to get away from the idea of purity. It thinks, to me, when I read it, it sincerely thinks that he wants to get away from the idea of a biblical view on how we view the opposite sex. Now, you have to understand, when it comes to courting and dating and all these things, you have to look at them within your cultural prism. There are some cultures where arranged marriages are the set principle, and there's nothing unbiblical about that, okay? So if you think, oh man, arranged marriages, these are horrible, no, there's nothing unbiblical about that. If there's arranged marriages, there's nothing wrong with that biblically. You can't say, oh, if you have an arranged marriage, you're being unbiblical. That's not the way it is. There are certain principles, and hopefully we will get to them, and I'd like to share with some of them towards the end of the episode. But I think that we need to look at some of the things that he has to say. This high standard, quote unquote, that the book emphasizes. The problem is that the scriptures emphasize a very, very high standard, that you would walk in a manner worthy of your calling. The Bible says that you have been predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. It says that people wonder all the time, what is God's will for my life? And 1 Thessalonians 4, he says, this is God's will, your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality. Okay, so these are very high standards that the Lord has for us, especially for our young people. And as a father to right now, two boys and two girls, because one's in the womb, I look at them and I say, one of my jobs as a father is to help guard their purity. Okay, help guard them from men or women that may come into their life and try to take that away from them. Okay, and I want to make sure that I do that as a father. And I want them not to do it because they think purity is some sacred cow, but the fact is they want to be obedient to Christ, just as you or I should. Okay, if Joshua Harris or anyone else, if we would preach hard against something like pornography, okay, no one would be like, oh, we don't want to preach against this, you know, have this high standard. No, we do want to have this high standard. In fact, we want a higher standard. It says in Acts 17 that in previous times, God looked over sin, but now calls all men to repentance. We should have that heart that we want to have all men come to repentance, okay? We should recognize that there is a biblical way to do things where you're not lusting, where you're not putting yourself in situations where you're going to break God's heart by breaking his moral laws, okay? And fornicators, it says God will judge. It is the marriage bed that says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the marriage bed is to be undefiled, okay? But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. We need to be serious about this. When we're talking to our children about sex, when we're talking to our children about those things that are becoming of a believer, we shouldn't look at them like, oh, they're just high standards. No, we should look at them like, yeah, God calls us to a high standard, to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. What is your calling? To walk with Christ, to be like Jesus. So it's a big, big deal. I think that if you are, and once again, I don't want to get too far in the deep here when it comes to dating just yet, but if you're simply going from partner to partner and trying out all these people and think that it doesn't have an effect on their walks or yours, I'm sorry, you are ignorant on purpose, okay? You are ignorant on purpose if you don't recognize the effect you can have on other people by simply sport dating them and using people for your own joy, okay? It's very, very dangerous. And if you don't want to hold people to that high standard, I say you're the problem, okay? You are the problem, okay? Fear of making mistakes. It's not a fear of making mistakes, as Joshua Harris says here. It's not a fear of making mistakes. It is us as believers wanting to walk in obedience with the Lord. That's where our heart should be, okay? We shouldn't be influenced because people, you have naysayers, oh, well, you hurt me because of this, that, and the other. The problem is his logic here, that this idea that if I set these standards and I follow them, then I'll have a good life. The problem is if I read Proverbs with this thinking, okay, if I read Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1, okay, that says if you hate correction, you're stupid. But no, if I just say that a soft answer turns away wrath, and I give a soft answer to somebody, and it doesn't turn away their wrath, would I say, oh God, oh no, God's not right. God, that's not true. No, you would not think that. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's not what it's trying to say. If I read Proverbs 4:10, and he says, "Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many, and yet I pass away at a young age," does that mean God's word is not true? No. Does that mean the concepts that he have in his book are not true because people found spouses and they stayed pure until they were married, and then that spouse eventually cheated on them? Not at all. That doesn't negate God's goodness. Okay, that doesn't negate the word of God. Because I gave a soft answer and didn't turn away wrath. It doesn't negate something truthful that Joshua Harris put in his book simply because it didn't work out for somebody. Simply because somebody decided to have a sinful, unbelieving heart that fell away from living God. It doesn't negate the fact that God's word is true. Okay? It doesn't negate the fact that what he said in those books were true. Okay? The concepts that he had in those books, I believe a lot of them were very biblical. I'm not saying it was perfect. It's not the word of God. That's God's word's job. Okay? That's the word of God's job is to be perfect. But I believe that the concepts were right, the concepts were good, and the fact that other people were upset because it didn't work out for them does not negate the fact that a lot of the concepts were true. What I found heartbreaking, in all honesty though, was somebody that he decided to quote subsequent to this statement. On his own Instagram page, he put a picture of himself and said, quote, "What do we leave behind when we cross each frontier? Each moment seems split in two, melancholy for what's left behind and the excitement of entering a new land." Of course, that has to be some profound speaker, maybe, you know, like a C.S. Lewis. No, it's Che Guevara, okay? Che Guevara, that's who he quoted. He said, "This quote that a friend shared with me feels appropriate today. I just released a statement about my book, I Kissed Dane Goodbye. There's a link in my profile. I'd like to read it. I'm grateful for all the people who have shared their stories with me in the process. Thanks for encouraging me, critiquing me, and giving me space to walk this path. Wherever you are on your journey, I hope the mistakes you make won't crush you and the victories you experience won't go to your head. Here's to the excitement of a new frontiers. Let's keep learning." He quotes Che Guevara. Guys, it's bad enough when I look around and see, sadly, ignorant kids at colleges wearing Che Guevara shirts and Mike Tyson with a Che Guevara tattoo, and you see all this nonsense. But do you realize this man was an absolute murderer? In 1964, Guevara got a hero's welcome in New York City as he spoke to United Nations and stated, "Executions? Certainly we execute, and we will continue executing as long as it is necessary." Quote, "Crazy with fury," this is a separate quote, by the way, but "crazy with fury, I will stain my rifle red with slaughtering any enemy that falls in my hands. My nostrils dilate while savoring the acrid odor of gunpowder and blood. With the deaths of my enemies, I prepare my being for the sacred flight and join the triumphant proletariat with a bestial howl. Hatred as an element of struggle, unbending hatred for the enemy, which pushes a human beyond his natural limitations, making him into an effective, violent, selective, and cold-blooded killing machine. This is what our soldiers must become." That's the man that Joshua Harris decided to quote. And sadly, guys, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I went through all of the pictures on his Instagram page. There aren't that many. But unless I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure that he quoted Che Guevara more than scripture on all of his Instagram page. And guys, maybe I'm going to ask you this, and I'll read a little bit from his quote, his most recent post, okay? Because this was the one, honestly, that made my wife cry when I read it to her, okay? I'm going to read that quote, but I don't know if this man is really even a believer anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, okay? But I'm reading here from his profile. This is his profile for his Instagram page. Quote, I use the power of story to help businesses connect with their customers. Message clarity, marketing strategy, website design. Let's work together. Clearandloud.com. I don't see anything about the Lord. I don't see anything about the Lord. And I'm going to read you his statement when it comes to him now, guys, separating from his wife. This is what he said in a very weird, ominous picture of the two together on their Instagram page, on his Instagram page. It says, we're writing to share the news that we are separating and will continue our life together as friends. In recent years, some significant changes have taken place in both of us. It is with sincere love for one another and understanding of our unique story as a couple that we are moving forward with this decision. We hope to create a generous and supportive future for each other and for our three amazing children in the years ahead. Thank you for your understanding and for respecting our privacy during a difficult time. Now, there are a number of things you may notice, and if you're a blood-bought believer, you're going to wonder, okay, I don't want to get into your personal business, but simply stating something like, hey, we believe that biblically one of us has the right of divorce here, or simply stating we sought the Lord, even though I don't believe you can seek the Lord and get an answer contrary to his word. So if you decided to divorce him because you had significant changes that took place in your life, I think that that is a huge, huge problem. And when I was reading this, seeing that he doesn't say anything about seeking the Lord, seeking God's word, seeing what God has to say in his word concerning divorce, I don't see any of that. And what I see is when I read it, honestly, I see the lyrics from a Casting Crowns song. I'm going to read those to you. It says, it's a slow fade. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Yeah, that sounds eerily similar to what's going on here. Thoughts invade, choices made, a price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. When flattery leads to compromise, the end is always near. And now I do believe that Casting Crowns probably had the idea of pornography and adultery and things like that in that song. But I would just point out that the black and white turning to gray, okay, this idea of nuance, if you want to frustrate real believers, try to give nuance and care about nuance so much that you don't care about truth and absolute truth and having a black and white understanding of sin, a black and white understanding of what the Bible says so clearly in his words concerning divorce, okay, concerning purity, concerning how we are supposed to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. When we no longer care about sin, when we no longer and simply wink at sin when it comes to sexual immorality, and we say we're putting restrictions on people too hard when God sets a higher standard than we ever could in our walks, but yet has more grace. I am sorry, 150%. This is the nonsense that happens, and it's heartbreaking to me. I'm passionate about this because it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart for those children. The husband and wife are supposed to be a picture of Christ and his church to those children. The father is supposed to be that picture. You know that even in divorce, even when it comes to somebody cheating on someone, that God said is the hardness of heart that leads them to that divorce, that he had to give them a certificate of divorce because of hardness of heart, because they could not look at them and think of anything other than that adultery. over and over again, when you sinned against God, you committed spiritual adultery against him. When you went out and sought after other gods, and yet guess what he did in his mercy and kindness? He brought you back. He brought you back. That is his mercy and kindness when you're willing to come to him. That is the God that we serve. We have a God that loves us so much that when we committed spiritual adultery, when we, as I'm sorry to use this language, but it's the language of scripture, when we open our legs to every other false god and gave ourselves to him, he brought us back. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on someone who has been cheated on because they could not, and God has given them a certificate of divorce and allowed them to have that, okay, by his grace. All right, but I look at that and I say, Lord, this breaks my heart that we can literally put out significant changes in us. We didn't see it. Like, I'm not saying he didn't seek the Lord, but he certainly didn't tell anybody publicly. I'm not saying he doesn't know the Lord, but he certainly won't say it publicly on here. It breaks my heart to see this, guys. And it's not something that starts with, you know, typically nobody falls down and slips and goes, oh man, I can't believe I just committed adultery. Okay? A lot of times it's you were looking at something you probably shouldn't be looking at on the internet. You were letting yourself be flattered by someone at work. You were giving someone a piece of your heart, which, oh, I'm sorry, that's language that he used in his book that he would, you know, condemn today. Okay, I remember one of the pictures he'd used in that book, Boy Meets Girl, of a husband and wife getting ready, or fiancés, I guess, getting ready to be married, and saying he wanted to give all his heart, the husband saying he wanted to give all his heart to his wife now. And he had girl after girl in the crowd raising their hand and saying, but you already gave me part of your heart, but you already gave me part of your heart, but you already gave me part of your heart. Okay? And I remember that picture and thinking, wow, that is a really good picture. These are principles, guys. This isn't okay, well, once you did this, now you can't actually love your wife. That's not true. First of all, God is the one who repairs the heart. God is the one who gives us a new heart. But I will say this. Let's be honest with one another. Okay? Can it just be a little candid? All right? When you decide, as a man or as a woman, when you decide to enter in a relationship with someone, let's just be honest. I'm telling you that I've been involved with youth groups now for 8 years, teaching and leading. Okay, I've been involved at the high school level for 11 years of coaching. I typically do not ever see a guy and girl come together in a relationship, break up, and then when that man or that woman start a relationship, then stay friends with that person. Something has changed, okay? When you've decided to look at each other and say, hey, should we get married? Because that's, I'm sorry, as a believer, I don't understand developing a relationship with any other purpose than marriage. It doesn't always lead to that, and God will use it, okay? Even if it doesn't lead to marriage, God will use it. But where is your heart, okay? And I have a few principles that I would like to put out. Since he wants to throw away his book, I'll give you some of my principles that my wife and I have talked about these a ton. But these are some biblical principles when it comes to a relationship. I'm not going to say courtship or dating or whatever. You can call it whatever you want, okay? But biblical principles in the practice of our cultural framework and relationships biblically, okay? First and foremost, whoever you're seriously considering to be in a relationship with, they have to be a believer. I hope that you put that in bold. I hope you underline. I hope you italicize and maybe even write it in a special color, okay? Because this is first and foremost, all right? The Bible says you have the right to take a believing wife. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 21 and 7:1 that you should not be bound together with a non-believer, period, end of sentence. That not doesn't just include relationships. That includes your friendships. The people you are with should not be non-believers, the people you confide in. I'll talk about that later in my list. But you need to make sure that the person you are with is a blood-bought believer. There are way too many guys and girls that have been fooled by someone who claimed to be a believer. When they see them waffling in their faith, they turn a blind eye to it too. Okay, guys? So don't just make sure they're a believer. See the fruit in their lives. It is so important for you to actually see fruit in their life. Because yes, you can be duped. You can be fooled. And let me tell you, the damages will be done. I ask this of people all the time, especially girls. When they are dating a guy and I say, oh, does he love the Lord? Does he lead this? And does he know the word? And, you know, certain questions. And when they waffle on those questions, I always ask them the same. I say, okay, let's say you love this person. Say you end up marrying this person. okay? If you have children with this person, is their faith going to be emanated to your children? And what will it look like to them? And are you certain that you could hand the keys of your children over to them if you passed on? Do you think that they would follow Christ by their father's or their mother's example if you passed on? I think that's a really good question to ask. Number two, and I only have 4 minutes, so I'll go over these quickly. What is the purpose of this relationship? I think you need to know what the purpose is. Is the purpose to see, are we compatible enough to be married? Okay? And recognize the seriousness of the covenant of marriage. You don't just separate when you have differences. You separate when somebody sins against God and cheats on you with someone else and commits adultery. Okay? It is serious. We don't just separate because we have differences. So we make sure, what is the purpose of this relationship? Is this the person I'm going to be with? Is this the person I'm going to marry? It's really important. Also, number three, have accountability partners in your relationship, okay? Have people that will encourage you in the Lord and hold you accountable to purity standards of Scripture, because yes, they are there. As much as Joshua Harris says they're not in Scripture anymore, they certainly are. 1 Thessalonians 4 is very clear. God's will for your life is your sanctification, that you would abstain from sexual immorality. Keep that clear and have people in your life that you can confide in. Make sure, this is kind of, let's do 3.5/4. Make sure those that you confide in are believers. That is so, so important. I have heard multiple times and have people that I love that confided in non-believers concerning their relationship and got non-believers' advice for a spiritual issue. Okay? Not only do you become a terrible witness when you tell them about stuff that's happening in your relationship, guys, when you step up, when you mess up, you got to make sure you have believers. That's number 4/5 is have believers you can talk to when it comes to sinning in your relationship. Okay? Especially if you step out of line of the biblical parameters of sexual purity. Okay? When you step out of line, make sure you have people that you can confide in and people that you can trust to confide in. Believers that you can trust. Because not all believers, just be honest with one another. Guys, some of this is just wisdom you got to have. Not all believers are great to confide in your sins with, okay? Some of them, instead of praying with you and earnestly seeking the Lord on your behalf and saying, let's pray for repentance in this area, sometimes they have big mouths and they will talk to a friend, and instead of talking to that friend and saying, you know, oh, hear this gossip, they'll say, oh, let's pray for blah, 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 because they're fornicating. And that's not what you want. What you want is believers that you can trust and say, hey, I'm having this sin issue. We're having this problem. Can you come into our lives and confide in them? And guys, I'm giving you these parameters. Recognize also, especially if they have believing parents, that's huge, guys. Make sure if they have believing parents, that's huge. If they don't, make sure you have strong believing friends that can help you in that relationship. These are different things, guys, and I can't get through all the principles, but one day, Lord willing, I want to write a book on this with my wife, because we've seen so many terrible things, even taught in youth groups and from youth leaders. I remember sitting down with one and we were discussing. I said, I believe personally, everyone always wonders, why do the young kids always leave the church when they go to college and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, a lot of them like bongs and beer bongs and taking shots with their friends. I think a lot of times the sin is the one that comes first before the doubt, and then they can suppress the truth in their unrighteousness and have futile speculations because they haven't put on the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. But one of the big things I believe is that the prince of the power of the air works through the sons of disobedience, and that Satan won't come screaming and yelling as a devil to a lot of them. He'll come in a miniskirt, okay? And he will use them that way. So I believe one of the clear-cut things that we need to do is make sure that we are one in heart and one in mind in explaining to them that we want to make sure the people that are around them are believers and the relationships they have are with believers. Okay, I'm going to leave you with that note because that is probably the most important thing. I'm heartbroken by this. Guys, I don't take this lightly, what's going on. I know he wants his privacy, but for me, he did post this publicly, so it's kind of weird to ask for privacy when you post something publicly, but also it'd be nice to have some clarity. You know, it'd be really nice to have some clarity. And maybe I'm totally wrong on in terms of, you know, where he's at with his walk. I have no idea, but I know the things don't look good. And we need to make sure we judge people by their fruit. And we look at these things under the light of Scripture. And when it comes to your relationships, your courtships, guys, you have a high standard. That's walk in a manner worthy of your calling. And make sure, guess what? You are watching your walk and not stepping into the pitfalls that Satan wants you to step into. This has been Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and this is the 511 News.